Now, open your Bible, please. Acts chapter 1. Dear Lord, open our hearts as we open the Bible. Come speak to thy people. Thou art gracious, and remember that ye have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity, and that he hath counted us worthy of putting us in the ministry. Now, bless the word to our hearts today, we pray. Amen. I want to speak to you today on what will happen when Jesus comes. Now, Jesus led the disciples out to the Mount of Olives, and there gave them the Great Commission, and while he was there, speaking to them, then he was taken up. And verse 10, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, angels evidently. Well, all which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like fashion, like manner, as you have seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus is coming again. I turn now for strength in chapter 4. And first start, I'm speaking on what will happen when Jesus comes. And so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 following. I'm not having to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that your sorrow not even us others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, not go before, them which are asleep, Christian dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead shall in Christ shall be raised first, rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That ought to be a comfort to us. Remember that the second coming is called that blessed hope in Titus. Now, there are many wonderful things about the second coming, but today I'm talking, it's a literal return of Christ. I'm in Jesus Christ with a literal physical body. The same body that went away, the same Savior, is come again. The Lord himself shall descend. He's not speaking about world war. Not talking about the rise of communism or the World Council of Churches. There is such catastrophes. Talking about Jesus personally, bodily, physically, will return to this earth. I must say also, I'm talking about the first phase of his coming. There are many events connected to the second coming of Christ. The gathering of Israel, not at the first phase. And then the second coming of the kingdom at Jerusalem, the battle of Armageddon, the putting down of all the kingdoms of this world. Yes. But we're not discussing that this morning. That's not in the first phase of his coming. The first phase is Jesus will come into the air and call us away to meet him. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We either arrive or remain caught together with and meet the Lord in the air. That first coming, that first phase of Christ's coming. Now, there are five things I'd like to know in your heart about that coming. First of all, it'll be a glad surprise. I hope you'll listen to that because there's so many people that smart aleck making up signs and say, well, no, it's coming right away, and so on. And we hear the signs, it's bound to be here in a little bit of time, then all about it. All that is foolish and is unscriptural. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the opposite of that. It'll be a glad surprise when Jesus comes in the day that you think not the Son of Man cometh, the Bible says. It'll be a glad surprise. I turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, the scripture says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the Son, but not the angels, but the Father only. In Mark chapter 13, he takes it up again in verse 32, he said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels, nor the Son, but the Father. That is, Jesus, when he was here on earth, did not know the time of his second coming. Now, smart aleck, you don't know either. And some preacher that, but he reads the newspaper, ought to read the Bible more. He'd come out better. And so by the newspaper, he knows some wonderful signs by which he can tell you just about Jesus' coming. And one famous evangelist, good friend of mine, on this he's wrong. He tells about the rise of Russia, and so that means, Gog and Magog, and so this is about the end, then you better ready to go through the tribulation, save up some extra packages and for survival in the tribulation that's coming. So, no, I'm saying now, if you listen carefully, And there are no signs by which anybody can tell even the approximate time of Christ's return. No, no. But in Matthew 24, the disciples said, Lord, what are the signs of which of these things be? The destruction of Jerusalem, that is at AD 70. And what should be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world or the consummation of the age? Now notice, they're not asking about a sign about the rapture. They're talking about the end when Christ restores Israel and so on. But the word sign there is a synonym for miracle, signs and wonders and miracles. And so they're not asking about some evidences by which people can tell when the time approaches. No, they're saying, how will it be, Lord? So in that same chapter, verse 39, he said immediately after the tribulation time, after the rapture, after the great tribulation, he said, then there cometh up here the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, that is the visible manifestation of Christ himself returning with saints and angels and so on. That is the sign. That is the miracle, the manifestation that has nothing to do with the evidential sign by which you can know. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming. Well, someone said, but Brother Lance, the Bible speaks of the last days. Yes, it does. And so in Joel, the Lord said, it'll come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And Peter at Pentecost said, quote that scripture and said, this is it. So the last days are already on at Pentecost. The last days are already. So in Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says that God in time past, taken time past in divers manners to our fathers through the prophets. That's the Old Testament. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So when Jesus came, it was the last days, and the book of Hebrews written is still the last days. And in John, first epistle of John, the scripture says, little children, oh, it's the last time, already last days, last time. Now, oh, someone said, oh, but Brother Rice, there's the regathering of Israel yonder. The truth of the matter is that a group of Jews going back, unconverted Jews, going to murder and to steal land they didn't own, put other people out, and take over by violence and force of people, unconverted Jews in rape and violence. That is not the regathering of the Bible. Zionism and Christianity are different things. No, there's coming a time to regather Israel. Now, how that happened? The Lord shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. And God, every Jew left alive in the world, but gathered back together. Ezekiel 20 says they've been taken to the wilderness of wanderings, and there God will purge out the rebels. And Zechariah tells us that then Israel will see the Savior, and they will say, what are these wounds in thine hands? And he'll say, I've wounded for this year before in the house of my friends, and they'll mourn over him as one mourneth the firstborn son of her family apart. And then it'll come to pass, after the rapture, after Christ returns to reign and the second phase is coming, then all Israel should be saved. There is no prophetic significance, not anything at all prophetic significance in the little bunch of Jews, unconverted Jews in Palestine. The truth is, when they were cast out because of their unbelief, because they crucified the Savior and would not listen to the Scriptures, they are the same rebellious Jews now. They're the same lost people now. They have no claim on God. They have no claim on Palestine. They're not converted. But the time when Christ returns and gathers Israel, the scripture said, then they'll be circumcised in heart. And God will take away the stony heart and put in them a heart of flesh. And they'll love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, and so shall the children. That hasn't happened yet. Now, what I'm saying is, when Jesus comes, it'll be a glad surprise. Nobody knows when. Did you know that in Bible times, the Christians all looked for Jesus coming in their lifetime? Why did they? Well, because Jesus told them to. He said, I say unto you, watch. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, for you know not the day nor the time when the Son of Man cometh. Where they watch for Jesus coming. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, the scripture says to the people of Corinthians, how many times that comes up in the scriptures, and I probably ought to read it. He said, you have come behind in no other group waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You people of Corinth, what are you waiting for? We're expecting Jesus to come. Well, it isn't here yet. I know, but it may come at any moment. They were waiting for him to come. In Philippians chapter 3, that question comes up again there in Philippians chapter 3. And so For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who should change our vile body. You people in Philippi, you people all hepped up about some, what is it? We're looking for Jesus. He's coming from heaven. We're looking for him. He's going to change our vile bodies like unto his glorious body. All right. And for and 1 Thessalonians, again, Paul says, for they themselves show us the matter of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned from God to God from idols to serve the living true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the dead, wrath to come. Now, people at Thessalonica, they were taught, like those at Corinth, like those at Philippi, they were taught to wait for his Son from heaven. All the Bible Christians look for Jesus coming in their time. Why? Because Jesus had commanded them to. He said, watch, for you know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. He said, what I said to you, I said all, watch, for you know not the day nor the hour. All right. So all Bible Christians expect, wait a minute, you mean they were looking for Jesus to come before World War I? Yeah, that had nothing to do with it. Before World War II? Yeah, that had nothing to do with it. You mean before the rise of communism? That has nothing to do with the second coming. Those that, no, sir. Christians were daily expecting Jesus to come without any signs. You know, Paul the Apostle expected that too. So in 1 Thessalonians here, he says in chapter 4 and verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we that are alive shall and remain shall be caught together with them to meet the Lord in the air. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 15, verse 15 and 51, the scripture says we shall not all sleep, not all going to die, for instance. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive, shall be caught up to truth. All right, so then, in Bible time, they knew Jesus might come at any moment, and that's a one great doctrine about the second coming everybody ought to get. All the heresies and false teachings everybody gets on the second coming, they get into it because they forgot, neglected this truth, the imminent coming of Jesus, that it might come at any moment, and Christians are commanded to watch all the time. So when Jesus comes, it'll be a glad surprise. I do not know when it may be today. I do not know whether it be 500 years, it may be. I don't know. But oh, I want to see him. I'd like to see him. It'll be glad, but it'll be a surprise. In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Again, what will happen when Jesus comes? There's going to be a glorious resurrection. A glorious resurrection. Dead in Christ shall rise first. That's wonderful. Oh, Paul wrote and said, if there's no resurrection, you won't see your loved ones anymore. He said, if there's no resurrection, we're of all men most miserable, Paul said. But he said, don't you think that God will leave them out when Jesus comes? We'll not prevent them, not go before them. The dead in Christ shall rise. There's going to be a great resurrection. That's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. Oh, that one of these days the graves will be opened. And have Christian people. And Christians will come out. A great multitude. That's that group called in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 23. That general assembly and church of the firstborn written in heaven. When all of us started to meet the Lord in the air with the Christian dead of the past. A resurrection. I'm glad of that. I'm glad to have a resurrection. I won't be 84 then. I won't stumble when I walk. My ears, I have ear gauges. I've got to watch them all the time because they're not perfect and I can't hear perfectly. I won't need any hearing aids then. In 1956, I fell in the basement on my head. And he said, must account for a lot of things funny about you. Yes. But one funny thing is that the little thin membrane bone under the brain was cracked and the olfactory nerve was killed and so was cut. And so I can't smell anything. I take a bath every Saturday night whether I deserve it, whether I need it or not. And so, but I'm just saying I'll be glad to be resurrected. I played college football. I broke bunks in West Texas. Oh, I was strong, I know. I'm not now. I'm not now. One of these days, I'll have a resurrected body, and I'll be young again. I'll be strong again. And better than that, thank God that none of this sin question. Praise the Lord. Paul said, when it would do good, evil is present. Yeah, I have to say that too. Somebody said, Brother Ash, you have heart trouble. Yeah, I've got the worst kind of heart trouble. When it would do good, evil is present with me. What I would, I do not. But thank God that'll be fixed one day. Now I won't ever have to say, Lord, I'm sorry anymore. So glorious resurrection. Aren't you glad you'll have? Well, just some of you fellows don't have much hair now. You're going to have a crop of hair again. That'll be good, won't it? Yeah. And some of you that have worse than that about you, but praise the Lord, it's coming a time and God's going to make us whole. For somebody said, resurrection bodies don't have any blood. Yeah, you got that idea somewhere. Some fool preacher made that up. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. When God made Adam in the Garden of Eden, he made him right the first time. And so when he goes to restore us and make us over again, so he's going to make perfect bodies like Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. We'll have one day glorious resurrection. What will happen when Jesus comes? Here's nothing. It's going to be a grand reunion. Not a grand reunion. We say goodbye in parting with loved ones here below and always hope to meet again as on our way we go. But oft our hearts are grieving over those we never meet. We'll say goodbye in sorrow till we meet at Jesus' feet. But we're going to meet our loved ones again. Won't that be a grand handshaking and embracing and greeting and tears of joy, I guess, and laughter? Yes. I remember when my mother died and they put that frail body away. I was hardly 6 years old. I remember, she asked everybody to be sure to meet her in heaven. And she asked my cousin to sing for her, said, what shall I sing? And he said, and my mother said, sing, how firm a foundation ye saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in his excellent word. Her feet were on the rock of ages and it didn't tremble. And she lifted her hands and she said, I can see Jesus and my baby now. And then her hands fell across her breast and she is gone. I remember strangely a little scene up the cemetery. I remember that hole in the ground. They didn't put any fake grass up there to cover the frogs in that little country cemetery. I remember there making a little shower of rain. And my father knelt down by that open grave and went arm around two little boys. Went arm around two little orphan girls. And a kindly woman came and held a black umbrella over his head, I remember. She said goodbye to Mama. I'll see Mama there again. I went to that Sandaland Cemetery up in Cook County one time and I stood there. And I said, Mother, I'll see you again. Won't be long, but I'll see you again. I know my mother heard. She wasn't in that grave. I think my mother heard. Well, we'll have a greeting of Mother. I love her, won't we? That'd be a wonderful thing. My father came to meet. I was in a revival meeting in Newport, Oklahoma. He'd had a stroke and gradually gotten better and got so he could walk and then so he could drive his car a little bit. One day he slipped off and drove up to Newport, Oklahoma to see me. He won 4 men, heads of families to Christ. In 2 days, and then he died up there. We brought him back to Decatur, Texas, to bury. And we sang, we'll say goodbye here and good morning up there. And we buried Dad. I'll see my dad again. My dad and I used to ride together a lot. They had raised fine horses. And when I was very young, I had a horse of my own. When I was 15, I broke my own horse. And Dad and I'd ride together after stock, and so one of us would start a song, and the other would join in on the tenor. Well, when we get to heaven, you know, Dad and I could either one sing tenor or sing the melody. It won't matter. We'll know all about it anyhow. I'll see my. We're going to have a grand reunion, won't we? Dr. Bill Jones. I miss him a great deal. He was a good brother. We were very, very close. My brother Joe, Evangelist Joe. Very dear. Jesse, George, Ruth, Jimmy, Gertrude, they're all gone. Well, we'll have a good time. I was glad to be here at the fellowship and have my daughters, all 6 of the daughters here. And we had a sweet fellowship, but mine won't be good when we have a gathering and there are not any empty places. We'll have a grand reunion, won't we? I went to see Dr. Bob Jones. Let's see, I was there in November. He died in January. About 2 months before he died. And I talked to him. He didn't know everybody, but he knew me. He said, "Brother," and he'd always want me to sing. He'd say, "Brother John, won't you sing that Out From a Foundation, that old-time country way?" So he and I sang Amazing Grace together. And we both prayed. And I said, "Dr. Bob, let me see, you were 84 12th of October last month, weren't you?" "Yes." I said, "You're getting about old enough to vote, aren't you?" And he smiled and said, "Yes, and old enough to get married." And I bade him goodbye. We prayed and I went away. I said, "Dr. Jones." "Oh, how many?" "I said, Dr. Walter Wilson." "And I know who that'll be, too, because I've been for years it was." Dr. Wilson put his arm around me, on my shoulder. He'll say, "You dear, sweet man." That's what he always used to say. Oh, yeah. And I'll see Dr. Riley and Harry Rimmer and my how many others. Old Brother Gibson, preached it. And my pastor, Nasser, boy, and Perry Harmon, son that, well, under who I was baptized and so on. We're going to have a good time greeting the loved ones, hopefully, at that time. All right. It'll be a grand reunion. What'll happen when Jesus comes? Another thing. There's going to be a grievous separation. For the Bible says about the living, one shall be taken to the left. One shall be taken to the left. Said two women grinding a meal for the food of the day, and one shall be taken to the left. You mean Jesus is coming in early morning? Yes, somewhere on earth will be early morning. But two men be working the field, one be taken to the left. So somewhere it'll be midday. And two be sleeping in the same bed, one taken to the left. So it'll be at night somewhere on the earth when Jesus comes. Oh, what a separation then. What a separation then. I can remember over in Oak Cliff when I was pastor, dear old brother there, Dad Hickman, he drove an old Model T, about the latest, oldest Model T in Dallas, I guess. He had cancer of the liver. I was called to his home one night, Dad Hickman dying. So I went there from 1 till 5 in the morning, I was with him. And he said to me, "Brother John, I've been praying for my boys. I'm going to have to leave that to you now, Brother Ross. I'm leaving them." I was concerned, what a burden on my soul. But Mrs. Hickman, she went and got Bill, brought him, said, "Your dad wants to see you." He knelt down by Dad's bed. Old Dad Hickman said, "Bill," he said, "I'm going now. 2 minutes, I'm going to heaven." Now he says, "You can't lie to your dad on his deathbed, can you? Are you going to heaven or not? You going to heaven or hell?" He says, "You can't lie to me." And the fellow sobbed and sobbed and put his face down on the pillow and sobbed and sobbed. And Hickman said, "You have to tell me. You can't lie to me now. You want to be in heaven or not?" He said, "Yes, now I will, yes." I took the Bible and showed him how we got that settled, and Mrs. Hickman went to get another boy. Brought another son, knelt down to the bed, got that all settled. Oh, yes. Going to have a grievous separation. It'll be the last. It'll be a goodbye forever sometimes. I remember years ago in West Texas, there's a big family. They had 4 or 5 boys. Wild, rough western bunch. Oh, my. I tried so hard to win one of them to the Lord. But no, he wasn't ready. No, a little older than I. He had a borrowed breaking cart and broke a bronc to it and drove it to town, in a little town. And it all our fun, it all of our accidents happened with horses in those days. And somebody threw a Stetson hat under the nose of that wild horse, hitched to that cart, and he jumped, and this boy, young man, fell over backwards. Oh, somebody on the horse caught the wild horse and brought him in, and the young fellow got on the cart and started to drive home. Later, when a farm wagon and the other family went along, they found him lying in the road. He was a bleeder. His blood didn't coagulate, and they found him dead. I went to the funeral. His dad said over here, Dad been converted. How many times did he ask prayer for little boys? And yesterday, another boy died younger. He hadn't been saved either, they told me. And we went by and looked in that open coffin. And all the other boys, Mr. Cap came by, and the other boys did, and looked in there. Cap came, old man came along, stopped and patted the cold face, and said, "Goodbye, Roy." He said, "Goodbye, Roy. Goodbye, Roy." I know what it meant. He said, "Goodbye forever." You see? Will be grievous separation, one take another left. Resurrection will be a separation, too. Yonder out in the cemetery is a big here's a fine granite tombstone. And let's say it's Tom and Mary Jones. One side Christian wife, the other was a lost husband. And when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first. One side of that grave will burst open, and the unsaved man left there, body to mortar, to dust, and his body still in hell. Great eternal separation. That's too bad. And tell you now, if you've got lost loved ones, you better get busy about them, hadn't you? Hadn't you? If you do what you can to get them saved now, a grievous separation. What else will happen when Jesus comes? Another thing will happen when Jesus comes. It'll be a grave accounting. Grave accounting. You say, "Well, but my sin's all laid on Jesus." Yes, I know. But the Bible says that we must all come to the judgment seat of Christ and receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. You say, "Well, God still hate us?" No, no. Is it malice? No. Is it punishment? No. It's letting catch up with you things that you did catch up with you, for they will. There's still a divine law of sowing and reaping. If you left a lost loved one unsaved and died that way, no matter how you pray about it, you wish you'd helped them when you could, you're still going to hell. You can't change that. There's some things undone. You lost an opportunity, some of it never come back again. Let me illustrate that. Years ago, I used to go every year to Evansville Rescue Mission. And Pappy Reveal, a great dear friend of mine. And I remember there's a man there called Old Bill. He had been a wicked old drunken sinner. And hang around the mission, sometimes come in for a cup of coffee. No, he didn't want to be saved. He'd paint mailboxes 5 cents a piece in the mailboxes and get a little money for beer. Or one day he and a buddy of his, while he was lost, they got a quart of whiskey and went out in the creek to spend it and got in a fist fight and the buddy knocked his eye out. So Old Bill stayed around there and I got him back and got saved. He just had one eye. Old Bill, when he's unsaved, had just one eye after he got saved. He said, "One eye." You see, when I was forgiven, yeah, I know. "Well, Brother Rossi's saved." "Yes, I know, but still just got one eye." You see, it didn't change the fact that some things still, if you let your loved ones go to hell, you don't do anything about it, well, they'll still be gone. There's nothing to do. You come to the judgment seat to receive the things done in the body. So Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "I came to Corinth," he said, "they held a great revival, started a church, many were saved." He said, as God's master builder, I laid the foundation. I got you saved. But let every man take heed how he builds on that foundation. When he said, wood, hay, or stubble, wood burns, stubble won't. Gold, silver, precious stones, they won't burn. What kind of building you build after you got saved? Parable tribe. And many things that you thought so good, going to be burned up, no good. Trash, no good. Oh, be sure how you build up gold, silver, precious stones, and things that are worn. If a man's works, the body, he'll receive reward. Not him, doesn't got that coming. But reward, too, if he did good things. Man's work may burn, he shall suffer loss. Brother Coleman, those are two strange words about a fellow at the resurrection going to heaven. Suffer and loss. But they will. Suffer loss. Be a grave accounting for Christians after Christ when Jesus comes. Better get ready, hadn't you? Better watch, hadn't you? Better look where it's coming, hadn't you? I hope you will.